dear sisters, dear friends. This is a very special moment in the National Assembly of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. As you gather now, once again, with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Head, our Mediator, our Savior, to offer through Him, through Jesus Christ, your worship to the Father in the Holy Spirit. Today, in her liturgical calendar, the Church gives us the freedom to celebrate that aspect of the divine mystery that we choose. Hence, honoring God's eternal design, we are celebrating the Immaculate Heart of His Mother Mary. You know, quite a few people say that the Catholic Church honors Mary too much. We actually honored her yesterday on that centenary of her last apparition in Fatima. So people conclude it's a bit too much. But you know, however much we honor Mary, we will never honor her as much as the Blessed Trinity did, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to worry. So we realize, now that we are celebrating the votive mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we realize that the Immaculate Heart of Mary designates the person of the Blessed Virgin, and it expresses her immense love for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Her heart likewise embraces with enormous love all those who by divine adoption are brothers and sisters of her Son Jesus. For us to understand fully the mystery of Mary's Immaculate Heart, the Church invites us to turn for a moment to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to see how closely Mary's love is patterned on the love of Jesus, who teaches all of us the meaning of gift, what it is to give in love. And the sacred liturgy helps us to do just this. During the liturgical year, beginning with Advent, the Church celebrates all the mysteries of Christ, one by one. We begin by reflecting on the preparation for His coming into the world. In doing so, we, the people of God, relive the expectations of God's chosen people over the centuries. And we ponder the riches of the Old Testament. With joy, we are introduced in the liturgy then to the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and then to His Epiphany and His baptism. We celebrate His presentation in the temple, and subsequently the mysteries of His public life with His miracles and His preaching. The Church then leads us into Lent and up to the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus. 40 days after Easter, we commemorate His ascension into heaven. We celebrate the deep meaning that each of these events has for us and for the entire community of the church. Then, on that extremely important feast, the Solemnity of Pentecost, which commemorates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we celebrate the gift of Jesus and his Father to the church. Later, after this, the sacred liturgy presents to us the great mystery of the Eucharist on the feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At this point in the liturgy, it seems that there is nothing left to celebrate of the mysteries of Christ. Yet, the Church, expressing her great genius, presents to us still another feast. After we have celebrated, so it seems, every aspect of the mysteries of Christ, and this other feast is the feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What the Church calls us to celebrate in this feast is, and this is important, is the motivation that inspired and explains all the other mysteries of Christ. And this motivation is love. This is then what devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus means for the Church. Devotion to the Sacred Heart is the celebration of the love that has its origin in the Father, who in the Holy Spirit loves the Son and sends the Son as Savior of the world. And this love motivates all the preceding feasts. It is magnificent. The merciful love of God is the whole reason for the birth of Jesus, for his epiphany, for his baptism, for his presentation in the temple, for his public life, for his passion, death, and resurrection, for his ascension, for his sending the Holy Spirit, and for his great gift of the Eucharist. The love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is truly the summary and synthesis of what God has done for his people. It is important always to keep in mind that besides being the symbol of his human love, the pulsating Sacred Heart of Jesus is also the sign of his living humanity. His pulsating Sacred Heart indicates that he is alive in his humanity. And this living humanity is united with his divine nature in the unity of his divine person. But since in God, life and love are identical, the living human heart of Jesus who is the Word of God, becomes the sign also of his divine love. Even here, the marvels of God's plan are not exhausted, because next to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that explains so much to us, next to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, God has placed the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It is the heart in which St. Luke tells us in the Gospel. It is the heart in which Mary reflected on the message given by the angels and transmitted to her and Joseph by the shepherds of Bethlehem. we saw that she reflected on all these things in her heart. The heart of Mary is that heart that the church in her liturgy calls, we just had it in the collect. The church calls her heart the home of God's eternal word, and also the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. It is the heart that the church further describes as immaculate, wise, obedient, new, gentle, undivided, pure, steadfast, and watchful. This is the heart of Mary, her immaculate heart, right next to the heart of Jesus, the Son of God. In presenting to us this heart of Mary, so closely modeled on the heart of Jesus, the Church prays that we may have a heart free from sin, attentive to God's will, and faithful to his commandments. The Church then prays that we may love God above all things and seek to help others in their needs. And this beautiful phrase is also a summary, a synthesis of everything that religious life hopes to obtain in a fervent way, of loving God, only love, of loving God above all things and seeking to help others. Your religious consecration, yes, it goes out so beautifully to loving God, but helping others in need. And as we reflect on this pithy phrase, we see so much is contained and such an explanation also of religious life. These words surely then express the content of the gift that you as religious desire to give to God and his church. You're living to make the gift and to give the gift ever more fervently, day after day, year after year. You want to give the gift the way Mary gave the gift after the pattern of the heart of Jesus, her son. How effective then your gift is, dear sisters, when you make it through Mary, being inspired by and imitating the love of her Immaculate Heart. And how appropriate it is that the CMSWR, which itself endeavors to be a gift to religious life, should have as its patroness the Mother of God. The Mother of God, who through her Immaculate Heart is the model of all consecration and the model of every perfect gift. You know, even as we say these words, the Mother of God, we just heard in the Gospel, just going back for a moment, Mary says to Jesus, "Son, why have you done this? Son, imagine the content of this word. Mary, and Mary alone, is the only one, apart from God the Father. God the Father can do it, but no one else except Mary can call him Son." Look at the power, the loving power that radiates from her and from her intercession. And she calls him Son. She can do exactly what the Father can do. She can call him Son because he is true God and true man. And as true God, he is divine like his Father. And true man, he is human like his mother and like us. And so we see how appropriate and how beautiful it is that the consideration and the love of the Church for the Sacred Heart of Jesus can be expanded to include this love for the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who is the mother of God, the mother of his Church, the mother of us all. May the love then, dear sisters, that you find in Mary, which reflects the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, inspire you in hope, confirm you in trust, and be always the cause of the joy you experience in living faithfully the gift of your consecration in religious life. Amen.